Crime Alert, hourly update, breaking crime news now.
I'm Jackie Howard. After days of rumors, juror number 6 was dismissed from Sean Combs' trial over inconsistencies he made about where he lived. The judge said that raised questions of candor and ability to follow directions and questioned whether the juror just wanted to be on the Combs jury. Reportedly, in an offhand remark to court staff, the juror, a 41-year-old corrections officer, mentioned he had moved in with his girlfriend in New Jersey and had been living there most of the time. Originally, the juror told the court he was spending 4 to 5 nights in his New York apartment. In follow-up, the juror admitted he moved to where his daughter lives with his girlfriend in New Jersey. 2.5 hours after the jury left the courtroom on Friday, the prosecution and Sean Combs' defense was still before the judge, the defense plowing through its objections to a long list of government exhibits intended to be entered into evidence next week. Most of them are messages involving Sean Combs' longtime chief of staff, Christina Quorum. Surprisingly, Quorum, who was portrayed as a co-conspirator, will not be called to the stand, but rather Brendan Paul, a former personal assistant to Combs, will. He's been accused of being Combs' drug mule. Prosecutors say they are confident they will rest the case against Combs next week. More crime and justice news after this.
I'm Nicole Parton. Two California teenagers, ages 14 and 15, are accused of fatally attacking a 66-year-old man outside a church, according to prosecutors. The alleged incident involved the teens returning multiple times to take turns assaulting the victim before stealing his clothes and escaping the scene. David Glenn Pitchell, a resident of Oxnard, was discovered severely beaten and partially undressed outside St. Anthony's Catholic Church on the morning of June 5, following the brutal attack that occurred the night before, as detailed in a statement from the Ventura County District Attorney's Office. The two teenagers reportedly targeted Pitchell while he was sleeping. Surveillance footage from the church captured the disturbing events, as noted by the DA's office. The video footage depicts the teens approaching Mr. Pitchell, who was seated next to his wheelchair near the church's side door, the statement explains. The boys allegedly assaulted the victim, momentarily stepping away before returning to inflict more pain. Pitchell indicated that the boys continued to return to inflict violence upon him. During their third assault, they reportedly unleashed yet another series of attacks before stripping the man of his clothes and fleeing the scene, according to prosecutors. A church volunteer later discovered the man near the side entrance, suffering from significant injuries to his head and facial area. He was declared dead at the scene. The teenagers were expected to be arraigned this week, but their hearings have been rescheduled for June 24, as stated by the prosecutors. The DA's office confirmed on Thursday that the teens are currently being held at a local juvenile detention center and are facing charges in juvenile court.
I'm Jennifer Gould. It was a grandmother's worst nightmare that spiraled into a terrifying ordeal for a 67-year-old grandmother. Penny McCarthy was simply tending to her roses in her Phoenix front yard in March of 2024. When 6 U.S. Marshals, rifles drawn, swarmed her property, mistaking her for a fugitive in a jaw-dropping blunder that landed her in jail and now in a federal lawsuit. McCarthy is suing the U.S. Marshals Service for assault, battery, false arrest, and constitutional violations after a traumatic 24-hour nightmare that left her fearing for her life. McCarthy has now relocated from Arizona and says she remains haunted by the ordeal, constantly fearing another wrongful arrest. She spoke to ABC 15 News.
I'm mad. I'm hurt. I'm all of a sudden on antidepressants. I'm on medicine to sleep at night, all because somebody didn't do their job right in the government.
The marshals believed McCarthy was Carol Ann Rozak, a 70-year-old Oklahoma fugitive wanted for a 1999 parole violation tied to nonviolent crimes. Body cam footage from the terrifying encounter captures the chaos. agents were caught barking commands as a bewildered McCarthy repeatedly pleaded it was a mistake. Take a listen.
You have an arrest warrant. Turn away from my voice. Yes, for you.
Who am I?
Turn away.
Turn around, disgusting.
Turn away. You're going to get hit.
McCarthy was handcuffed and hauled away from her home without any answers. Taken to a federal detention center in Florence, Arizona, McCarthy was subjected to unimaginable humiliation. She endured not one, but three invasive strip searches and had her fingerprints taken and DNA collected and spent a sleepless, frigid night in a cold cell desperately insisting she wasn't Rozak. While investigators initially claimed McCarthy's fingerprints matched the fugitives, further analysis quickly proved they didn't, leading to her eventual release. Prosecutors later admitted they hadn't even had an analyst available to verify the prints when she was first arrested. The entire case was dismissed in April of 2024 after prosecutors admitted they had insufficient evidence relying only on flimsy Facebook posts and aliases to pursue the original warrant. Represented by the Institute for Justice, McCarthy's lawsuit demands both compensatory and punitive damages. The 79-page lawsuit alleges the marshals failed to run basic checks to confirm McCarthy's ID, including checking her photo ID, her driver's license. While the Marshals Service acknowledged the mistake, they have offered no formal apology for the egregious error. The Department of Justice's Inspector General is now investigating the incident spurred by demands from the House Judiciary Committee. The investigation is expected to conclude by mid-2025.
I'm Drew Nelson. A 77-year-old Indiana man stands accused of killing his wife and two of her family members, saying they were tied to the Mexican drug cartel and claiming he was tricked into signing away his home before the shooting. On May 29th, Patrick Waite called 911 from his house in Hauptstadt.
Patrick Waite said, "I shot them all. I'm certainly not proud of that fact at all."
Gibson County Sheriff Bruce Van Owen telling WFIE they found him waiting in the driveway. Inside, they found three dead.
Alma Waite, she was shot in the head. Gloria Tapia Garcia was shot in the head. Fernando Tapia Ramirez Sr. was shot in the head. Juan Tapia Ramirez Jr. was shot in the chest and the neck.
A child witnessed the attack and hid upstairs with two other relatives.
The officers were shell-shocked. The witnesses were shell-shocked. Mr. Waite was taken into custody without incident there.
Waite was charged with three counts of murder and one count of attempted murder. He pleaded not guilty, but also told detectives, quote, "I'm as guilty can be." He later said, quote, "God will never forgive me."
No one should have to view someone doing such a horrific event, and this juvenile witness could be the key that brings this whole case to closure.
Waite's defense team filed a civil complaint accusing Alma and her heirs of elder abuse, fraud, and using threats to force him out of the house. He claims Alma deceived him into signing a deed that gave her sole ownership of the home he had bought with his first wife in 1998. The house had been in his name until Alma filed paperwork in April of last year to transfer it to her daughter. Court records show that the house was listed for sale the day after the killings. A judge has since halted the sale. Waite met Alma in September of 2022 through an online dating service. Within weeks, she moved in. They married in March of 2023 without telling his children. Waite's lawyers say Alma slowly cut him off from his family, blocked his kids from communicating with his phone, and began pushing for control of the house. The lawsuit claims she told him she needed to be added to the deed, but instead he unknowingly signed over full ownership. Alma had been released from federal prison in 2020 after a meth trafficking conviction. DEA records show she helped move large amounts of meth across the country and worked with law enforcement after her arrest. She was under federal supervision until August of 2021. The complaint says Waite had no knowledge of her past or of alleged ties to the Sinaloa cartel. His lawyers now claim that both her sons were also involved in trafficking and violent acts. The complaint says the family made threats against Waite's life and that he feared leaving the house because he believed they would steal from him. On the night of the shooting, Waite told detectives he had killed a snake with his .45 earlier in the evening. He left the gun in his back pocket. When he returned, he said he and Alma argued about the gun and then about the house transfer. He said that's when Alma told him she had placed the home in her daughter's name. When she turned to face him in the kitchen, he shot her right there. Then he walked into the den and fired at the others. At least one shot hit Gloria Garcia, who was bedridden. Police found the gun on a lawnmower in the garage, bullet casings and fragments found throughout the kitchen and living room. Waite told detectives he regretted everything and said he didn't deserve to live. He had no criminal history before the killings. The home had been known as the Waite Estate and was used for years to host family and church gatherings with his late wife, Nancy, who died in 2019. Waite remains in jail without bond. A court hearing has been set for next Friday to address the civil suit over the house. For the latest crime and justice news, follow Crime Alert hourly update on your favorite podcast app. With this Crime Alert, I'm Drew Nelson.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.